Proposed resolution number 03-14.1293, a resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the conveyance of public land, Lot 3A, Lot 65, amended Wrangell Industrial Park Subdivision 3, replat lot, by quitclaim deed to Todd and Catherine White.
Move to adopt resolution number 03-14-1293.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, call roll, please.
Assemblymembers McCloskey?
Yes.
Wiederspin?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Stowe?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13E, approval of a contract agreement for the annual household hazardous waste collection services.
I'll make a motion to approve the proposed contract with Carson Dorn Incorporated without competitive bids as provided in Wrangell Municipal Code 5.10.05E to provide services to collect and remove hazardous household waste from Wrangell in an amount not to exceed $14,000 with funding to come from the budgeted funds in the Sanitation Department.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none, call roll, please.
Assemblymembers Wiederspin?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Stowe?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13F, approval to award the proposal received from Dow HKM for the professional engineering services for the sewer pumps replacement project design.
I move to approve entering into a contract with DOWLHKM for the sewer pump replacement project design on time and expense basis, not to exceed $98,173, which is scheduled to be paid from the City and Borough of Wrangell's grant funds provided by State of Alaska Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development.
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? I just had one question on that. It mentions that there were three proposals open, and we only see the proposal from Dell HP again. I just wondered why the other two weren't included in this.
I'm not sure. Yeah.
If it's my understanding, what happens is they submit their proposals, and the projects manager and the public works director takes those, goes through them thoroughly, and they write up the spreadsheet that you see in here. I do have them available in my office if anybody wants to see them, but they're large, and that's why you don't see them in here.
In the memo, it says that there was a three-member committee that evaluated the proposals and made the recommendation.
Yeah, they do that individually. And actually, the State of Alaska, any of the grants that we have with them require the evaluation process to go without dollar amounts. And you evaluate the proposals based on their ability to do it, their proposal, what their methodology, and on and on and on. And so that's what they're graded on, is what the proposal, what our RFP said, this is what we want you to propose on. And then once there's a selection done, once they grade them out, and then they get a hold of the firm, the one that had the highest score, and they negotiate based on the services that they're going to provide. They discuss that and come up with a price that is a reasonable thing for the type of things they have to do. So
based on that evaluation, we can pretty much rest assured that this company's been in business for a while and it has a good reputation, that we don't have to worry about getting halfway through the project and finding out that the work's not any good.
They were the ones that worked on Front Street. And even though the State of Alaska was the ones that did the labor. They were in charge, the actual engineering firm that did the inspection and the design was this company here, so. And they are well-regarded around the state, and they do a lot of state projects and other things. So, no, they're very well-established.
The $98,000 is all grant money?
It is all grant money. Now, if, for some reason, when we get the bids on the construction part of it, you know, we've got X number of grant dollars, and we believe that that is enough to do it. Now, there's always a possibility if it comes in more than that, we would, might have to come up with some money. But right now, we believe that the money we have is sufficient.
Okay.
Anything further? I just, you know, I just seemed to me like in, if you could explain that a little in the future.
Sure.
The public sees this, and it seems like it's one person is arbitrarily chosen
okay.
over the others.
No, we can do it.
And that's why I asked the question to get that out there.
Nope, we can do that.
Anything further? Poll, please.
Assemblymembers Blake?
Yes.
Stowe?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
Wiederspoon?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13G, approval to purchase residential property from Shelley Massett for the purpose of a right-of-way.
I'll move to pay Shelley Masson for the ditch and power line easements based on the appraised value of the easements to be determined by our assessor, and to also pay her for the purchase of the 155 square foot of roadway on her property in the amount of $387.50.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
Now, I just want to say we put that on the table so we can discuss it. Please.
Yes.
This afternoon, Carl and I went back and I asked him just what has been the practice on different road construction projects. And unless we're missing something that we completely forgot, but the Reed Street project, when we did that and paved that, the Front Street project, the Kazziar project, and the Kazziar project even included initially the turnaround that we were going to use the Churchill property for until they changed their mind. All of the things that were done, whether it was utilities or in some cases sidewalks, in that case up there it even included the turnaround part of the road thing, all were done by easements. And that has been a pretty standard practice. And normally what we have done is we would have the assessor, he would appraise, there's a method they use for different kind of easements. There's construction easements where you're just on there during construction, and then when you leave it's left like it was and you're no longer have anything on there. There's permanent easements for various things, power line easements, all of those things that he would do an assessment for, do an appraisal of, and there's, I don't know how it's done, and I couldn't get a hold of him today, but there's a calculation they do, and that has been what we have offered to people for the easements we have done. And I can tell you there's these kind of things that's on Shelley's property, you know, all over town. There was things done years and years ago, roads put in. I've got a lot around the road that if I put a fence up on my property line, that would pretty much, you couldn't get drive down the street because there's streets on my property. But it is what it is, and so it is all over town. And it's a lot of this happened back in the 40s and 50s and maybe before. But as we come up with something like this, whether we're putting in a new road, or whether someone in Shelley's case is doing a subdivision and this is discovered, usually at that point in time that we try to resolve the issue. And in this case, there's also, they're doing a subdivision to change a property line between Mr. Edgley's property and Shelley's property. And there was also something done at one point. Mr. Edgley had a utility easement for the power line there at one time. Somewhere, I don't know, somewhere in the last 15 years, I guess, or maybe it hasn't been that long, but the power pole was changed. There, now it changes. The power line that was on in his easement that he paid to have is no longer there. So that's going to have to be changed. And I think that's something this, the city caused that to happen. We should pay that. So I think we certainly need to participate in this, but I am based on the practice that we have done, I'm against actually buying the land because it's just not what we have done anywhere else. I think she should be paid for the land and the road that we are going to take, that we're going to purchase. And I think we also should pay for the easements for both the power line on her property and the ditch, which holds a water line in the ditch. So that's, I think that's staff's recommendation, based on past practices. And, you know, at that point, I think that's about all I have to say there. Unless there's questions.
Yeah, I guess my question is, there's, from what Shelley says to what we have here, how much land are we talking? I mean, we're talking 155 square feet plus the ditch and power line easements based on price value of the easements. What's the approximation that we're of land?
The ditch, Shelley initially had talked, like, I believe there was 500 and some square feet.
178 square feet.
And I think initially when they did the subdivision, when they had Greg work on this, I think, I'm assuming Greg assumed that they were going to take that all the way to the ditch, to the far side of the ditch, on her land side of the ditch. So I think the discrepancy that she was talking about earlier is the difference between the original survey, original subdivision that they had done that had the whole ditch as part of the park and the roadway that we were going to buy, to back to the portion that just buying the roadway and the rest would be an easement. So I think that's the difference that she was talking about, the, why there is that difference.
So did Greg do both the original survey and the one that we have?
Yeah, maybe Carol. It's been planning and zoning, so.
Carol Washmore, 6 miles of Moby Highway. No, it has not been to planning and zoning.
Okay.
She had submitted the information, the exhibit one or the first exhibit, to staff. We do our due diligence, and part of that is asking for additional information. So Greg had done some preliminary survey to deal with the road issue, the right-of-way and the ditch per Ms. Masson's request. But I asked for him just to calculate what is the area within the road and what is the area within the ditch. And if you look at the first, at that first drawing, he had that information. He just had to calculate it. So there was not a second survey. And that is staff, we always require additional information. Today, somebody came in with a building permit. We needed additional information. They went and got it and brought it to us. So, I mean, it's common practice to ask for information if we don't have it all. As far as the, I don't know the calculation for the surveys for the power line easements. That, we have not asked for that. A lot of times in plats, we don't pay for the electrical easements when it's on edges of properties. Those are things that, as a platting authority, planning and zoning often requests as we clean things up as surveys happen around town.
This hasn't been before planning and zoning?
No, they're asking, it hasn't yet, because the plat will depend on what you all decide, what the city's purchasing. And then the preliminary plat actually goes to Planning and Zoning Commission for approval based on, you know, how much land area the city's purchasing. And plus, actually, there's now an additional part of it. There's going to be a lot line adjustment between the Edgeleys and the Massons, and so that has been added into this upcoming plat.
And that's kind of the original reason of why they're doing this, is because of that lot line adjustment.
Oh, okay. That I didn't know. I thought it was, the original reason was because Ms. Masson wanted to be paid for the right-of-way that was on her property.
Well, that's the reason they're here, but the reason...
Okay. That I didn't know. I didn't realize. I thought that came later, so.
Yes.
So in our map, we have, or whatever this thing's called, We have the blue area, which is the 155 square feet that we would be purchasing. The yellow-ish, orange-ish area is the ditch, which is the 423 square feet that Shelley talked about. It's the difference between those two, you know, 578 and 155. And then the unknown amount, that's the electrical easement. My question, Jeff, we're talking about purchasing the blue part for $387.50 and paying for the easement on the orange and the electrical easement, correct? But you don't know what that dollar amount would be, and you don't know exactly how that's calculated?
No.
In the other examples you talked about where the city did offer compensation to property owners in the past, I guess that's
normally what happens on a, like when we've done various streets, the engineers go through and the surveyors, and they know what pieces of property we need, what easements we need, da 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 da. So they give that information to our assessor. He goes through and does this calculation based on appraisals and the value of an easement versus a piece of land. And easements are going to be less than if you purchase the land. That's a fact. But like I said, we tried to get a hold of him today, but was unable to do that. Okay. So I don't know that amount. But
okay,
yes.
I have another question. Also, the little area between where the lot line would be moved between Ms. Masson's and the Edgeleys, does that need to be included in the totals that we're talking about so it's all clean at the end of this process?
The part on
the
Mr. Edgeley's property?
Yeah, a little pink area, it says the ditch area.
Yeah, well, and it'll also include the electrical part, you know, easement. I mean, that whole little section that's even beyond the pink or red part. And then I want to follow up with, is this time sensitive, or can we get this information from the assessor, get it to you, and see what you think of that, and come back at the next meeting?
Can we table it?
Yeah.
Table it to the next one?
Postpone
it to the next one?
Yeah.
So you're comfortable with the electrical easement, is that what you're saying?
Pardon?
You're comfortable with the electrical easement? Is that the way it was defined?
I was going to give an easement for the electrical, but for the road there, I'm still paying taxes on that. Correct? Going out to the road there?
Is it, Jeff, does a person pay taxes on a part where there's an easement?
Yes. They're, depending on what kind of easement is, and again, Mike Renfro is the one that needs to answer this, but my understanding, it depends on what kind of easement it is. If there is an easement that would not affect most things you would do. As an example, if you had a piece of property and through the one corner of it there was a water line and we had an easement, it probably wouldn't affect your property values at all. Because you couldn't build there anyway because of setbacks. You could plant a garden, you could do almost anything else, you could put up a fence, you could pretty much use it like you would if there wasn't anything under there. Where there's other things that could be of a permanent nature on there that may be different than that. And like I said, I'm talking in generalities, but
And a ditch for a road would be more of a permanent thing.
Yeah, they could. I mean, they still could put a driveway through there. They could, you know, about the only thing they can't do, I believe, is like build a structure over it.
I can't build 12 feet out, 12 feet from each side of that.
Right.
As I said, 15.
I'm losing 4,000 feet.
And part of that, a little different than that, is the first 20 feet of the lot. Would be setbacks, and she wouldn't be able to build on that anyway. But if there is an area beyond that, you can only build so close to a power line, so that would be affected as far as building. And so in that case, if it restricts you from doing something like that, like I said, I don't know if that would be a different situation to the assessor or not. But But those are all questions we can ask him.
One more question. If we were to postpone this until we get more information from the assessor, can we also get what that cost would be to purchase that ditch area? Just so we have all our options laid out there, you know, the cost of it either being under an easement or purchase. And then we have all that information in front of us. And I would like that part, I don't know, Carol, how the process works, but that part that's between the Edgeleys and the Massons, you know, we might need to deal with that too, is all the information.
What she's talking about is that little arrow on below Edgeley's property on the road. Do you know what that?
Yeah, I'm trying to. The little red one.
The arrow?
The little red arrow.
Well, for the purchase price for the ditch is what I had requested, so that's that other amount. That's in, I quoted that before.
Do you have that in there?
I did. Yes, you have it in your packet. I don't have it here with me.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
The pink area there?
Yeah, right.
Right.
Well, at our meeting that Carl Clay and Ms. Masson and Mr. Edgeley, we were at, neither one of them felt like they needed to pay for that, but I guess that's up to, that would be roughly where that property line would be extended, I guess is kind of what that drawing is, based on their moving that 10, that the property line 10 foot over. It's kind of a rough estimate there. Just showing that there's an additional little area that.
But wouldn't all this stuff be replatted at the same time?
Yes.
Okay.
It'd be one plat.
Yeah.
So just to be clear, so I'm going to ask the assessor the value of the assessment of the ditch, the value of the ditch area to purchase, the value, and explain how that's done with the, whether on an easement, how that's determined and how they determine with property taxes, how that's dealt with there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anything else? Electrical easement?
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, electrical easement due to what she's asking.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor.
I'll move to postpone the motion.
Second.
Move to second, postpone. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll, please.
Assembly members Wiederspoon?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Stowe?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
McCloskey?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Next item is item 14, attorney's file. You have a summary of that in front of you. And questions or any comments on that?
I move to go into executive session for discussion with the borough attorney regarding litigation case number 1WR13000036C1, McFarland versus Randall, involving matters of immediate knowledge which would clearly have adverse effect upon the finances of the public entity.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. So for discussion, both assembly members and Foskey and I have cleared contact of interest on this item. Any other discussion on it?
Assembly members Decker?
Yes.
Wiederspoon?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Stowe?
Yes.
Moving to executive session at 8:03 p.m. Convene the assembly meeting at 8:53. Mm-hmm. And
I make a motion to dismiss.
Adjourn.
Okay. Adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
We'll adjourn this meeting at 8:54.
questions?